It's good to see you here today. You glad to be here? Weren't our worship leaders just fantastic today, and as they led us, and just a great, great thing. We thank God for them. Bless you all. We love you. A couple of things as we think about the week. I wanted to mention these things to you. As time is moving on, as God is working in the earth, and He is bringing everything in the earth to a conclusion. I mean, that we live in that expectancy. That's what we're about. We preach even when we come to the Lord's table. It says, We do this until He comes. You know, that expectancy. But there are a number of things we need to be mindful of and be praying about that are going on in the world, going on in our country. Things continue to happen all around the Mediterranean, all the countries, that is going on. I can't begin to address all of that. There's a bunch of things that's happening. That has a direct bearing on all of us. Now, we can put it to the third news cycle and say, well, it doesn't matter. it'll get your attention after a while. You go to the pump, other places, it'll get your attention. Another thing that is interesting this week, in the test case for the Supreme Court about the expansion there of the Patriot Act, and using that law on things that are non-terrorist oriented. Need to go back and look at it. But our Supreme Court upheld that at 8-1. For me personally, I see an erosion of our rights and erosion of the Fourth Amendment. Our Constitution in this country and our Bill of Rights is premier in the world. There's nothing like it in the history of mankind. It is premier. And to see that eroded, and to see where authority has more authority in our lives. And I know, you know, the balance there, and we talked about this earlier today, balance between, you know, you got terrorism over here and you got the giving up of rights so that terrorism can be addressed. Do you see I know that's a real problem that's there. But the fact is, we are less free today, personally, than we were. That's a fact. Another thing that's happened this week, and this is kind of a continuation. It's gotten a lot of press, but it's a continuation from our State Department, our administration. The statements about Israel, and by the way, don't go one party or the other, because we had a Republican president that made some very similar statements about Israel, wanting to go back to the pre-1967 borders. You Google that and look and see where that would take Israel today. And why all these countries that have all this land are concerned about a little postage stamp? But it's because of what it means in the earth and what it means in history. The Bible says in Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless you. And what's the other part? I'll curse them who curse you. We have lived under the blessing of God. With our connection with Israel. Now, I don't defend everything that Israel does, but I do have great concern for our nation if we distance ourselves from Israel. They're one of the few friends that this nation has as far as nations in the world. The other thing that was going on was yesterday. You're all here, so I guess y'all all missed it. Uh, No, Harold Kemping, the 89-year-old former civil engineer turned pastor, leader of this ministry, his prediction that Jesus would come back at 6 o'clock yesterday did not happen. The chilling part of that is this, is that it would further give fuel to people that would say, oh, those Christians are just a bunch of nuts. And it would give to Christians the idea to further lower on the priority the imminent return of Jesus. That is the disturbing thing about it to me. I've said this earlier and said to several of you this week. A fellow that I respect, a well-known evangelical leader, Harold Wilmington, he wrote in an article that I read this week. He gave a list of all periods in history where they've predicted the second coming of Jesus, and it didn't happen, of course. And he lumped this in, and then at the very end he says, you know, no one knows the hour of the day. I believe that. That's true. No one does that. Not even the Son of Man knows that. But I also know that the Scripture is replete with ideas to be ready, for there to be a readiness to live like He is coming very soon. The Scripture is also replete with prophecies. Why did God give those prophecies? And then as He's fulfilling them, if He didn't want to get our attention about it and for us to wake up, was it important in Noah's day that people pay attention to the work of God? Yes. Is it important today? I mean, if you didn't know anything else about prophecy, anything else that's going on in the world, you'd have to look at the miracle that is the nation Israel today, where it sits, and to see those prophecies that they would be restored to that land. That is fact. That's not fiction. That's not interpretation. That is fact. That is the work of God. And we need to be raising that. Jesus is coming soon. I've told many of y'all, I believe I'm going to see Him come in my lifetime. That is my expectancy. That is my expectancy. So, those things. And the final thing is, we didn't make the list on Westboro Baptist protest list, because I assume they hadn't shown up by now. That's another kind of, that you'd put kind of in the nutcase category of, yes, I said nutcase. And I'll be out on the internet now. And I'll probably make the list now, next time they come around. But they're the group that goes and protests at soldiers' funerals, and, you know, all these things are going out. And they've hit several places. And if you see the list and some things they're saying about some of these are people that we know. I mean, it really is ridiculous to think they'd be going down to Christ Church and be protesting Mark Robertson with the stand that Mark Robertson has made for the Word of God and for the role of marriage, and that he has stood strong in that. I mean, Mark is a friend of mine, but more than that, he is a man bound to the Word of God, and I bless him today. But even his comments were kind as they tried to get him to say something inflammatory. But lest you think that the world can distinguish between them, they're painting all of us together with them. So we've got to be careful as we go to share the truth. As we go. Okay, those are just some things that are happening this week. I wouldn't be a good shepherd if I didn't comment on them and let you know about that. And I'm willing to discuss any of those things with you if you want to get together and do that. And by the way, you know, today I've made statements, you might not have known it, that would make people politically mad on both sides of whatever. You know what side we have in this church? God's side. Because His is the only one that matters, right? I'm more apolitical today than I probably have ever been in my life. Okay. John, can you Give it to us. We've been talking about the church, and things that I believe make us unique as a body of Christ. Today we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of where life is lived. I encourage you to listen very closely, take good notes, because today I believe you're going to have revealed to you some things that you have struggled with for a long time, if you'll pay attention. Now, some of you are just here to mark time and get through this. Well, it won't make any difference to you anyway. But for those who want to listen and tune in to the Word of God and see what God says, here it is. We start out with Jesus died for us on the cross. He rose on the third day and gives to us the victory over sin, Satan, and death. He loves us unconditionally. He has forgiven us, offered that forgiveness to us that we can receive without strings attached. He invites all men, women, boys and girls to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. And once He comes into your life, He will change your life forever. Do you believe this? Now, if you've never received Jesus into your life, I encourage you today to consider the claims of Christ upon your life. He does love you and He wants to come into your life. So, once you've done that business, once you have received Him into your life, what's next? What's next? Well, first of all, He has called us to live out the changed life. We have a changed life in Christ. Ephesians 4:24 says this, "You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true." The very moment that you receive Jesus into your life is that very moment He changed you. He changed your eternal destiny. He changed your life. You became His child. Immediately you became a child of God. You were adopted into the family, grafted into Him forever. He forgave your sins. He made you a new person. That is the blessing of the gospel. Seeing that resident at the big house in Reidsville, fellow had been in there for 10 years at that time, serving a life sentence for murder. And he looked at me and he said, "I may be in prison here today," but he said, "had I not come into prison, I would be dead and burning in hell today." And I asked him, I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it took me coming into prison to come face to face with Jesus Christ and to be challenged about my relationship with Him, and I invited Him into my life." That man was living a changed life inside of a prison. We have a changed life in Christ. Secondly, Jesus began a work of changing our attitudes and our actions. We invited Him in. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." Yes, when the new owner came in, when the new Lord came in, when the new boss came in, Jesus, the work of changing our attitudes, changing our life, The theological term for that is the work of sanctification began. Making you holy, conforming you to the image of Christ. Making you something new. And He gives to us His Holy Spirit so that we can have the power of God to live the life that He's called us to live it to full capacity, to live with Him forever. Now, living here and living forever. Now, if you take those two things, you have a changed life. He began this deal of changing our actions and our attitudes. Hey, that's easy, right? Number three. We're in a battle. Because just as surely as God's working over here in our lives, What is warring against us? That's right. Satan himself, the world system, and our own flesh. We're in a battle. Ephesians 6:12 says this. We're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule the world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. When we came to Jesus, we picked up an enemy. The enemy of our souls. And we're in a war. If I had one thing that I could say to the church in America, in the West, that would be it, right there. Because I don't think we realize that we're in a battle. That there's a war going on. We see evidences of it, but we choose to ignore it. God has called us to fight the good battle. Number four, and all of us battle with strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says this, we're human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. You see, even after we have come to Christ, there are areas of our lives where His sanctification is not taking control, and the evil one has control in those areas, those fortified areas, those areas of thinking. Do you remember that? When you first came to Jesus and God began to do His work of changing you, yes, positionally, He changed you. You were saved. You were a new person. You were headed to heaven. But then He began that work of transforming your life in the way you think according to Him. Remember how there were certain strongholds, things you held on to, certain belief systems that you held on to. Let me ask you a few questions that might reveal some of the strongholds in our lives. Listen to these. Do you have trouble trusting people? I could stop right there with that one. There's a stronghold. That's from our past. It says, oh, you can't trust anybody. Do you see how that can lead to problems in areas of our lives? How many marriages today are on the rocks today or split up because of this one simple stronghold? Someone came into a marriage really not believing they could trust another person. And what is marriage built upon? What is any relationship built upon? Trust. Second question. Do you have difficulty giving and receiving love? Can you see how things from our lives before, where there have been hurts, where maybe there has not been love? I mean, I'm looking at some of you here today that I've seen God do a miraculous work in your life that you sure were not shown love as a child or growing up in periods of your life. But God has done a transforming thing in your life. Not only did He save you, but He is making you holy. He is transforming your life, and He has shown you what real love is by the power of the gospel. And that is miraculous. There's some of you, I'm not going to embarrass you right now, but there's some of you that I'm looking at right now because I know I've seen it. I watched it happen in your life. God did it. But that might be a stronghold for some of us today. Do you have the same difficulties that keep surfacing in your life? Same things keep coming, cycling back. Same thing over and over again. Whatever area of your life you keep struggling. That's a good indication that that's a stronghold. You know, what popular pastor, he said there's a toehold, the foothold, and then a stronghold. Are you depressed? Depression might be a good indication of a stronghold where the evil one has come and set up a camp in your mind and in your heart that keeps you down, that keeps you in a depressed state all the time, separate. Do you struggle with bitterness? Maybe a stronghold. You have trouble forgiving people. Ooh, there you go. I don't know if God's going to deal with them, but I'm going to make sure they get dealt with by me. Really? Let me know how that feels when it's done. Doesn't feel very good. Have you ever planned or attempted suicide? Could be a stronghold in your life. What better thing would the evil one want in your life just for you to get rid of it? What fears do you have? Is your life built upon and motivated by fear? Think of fear. Does sexual lust control you? Oh boy, that's a big one in the West. Have you ever been molested? As a child. There may be a stronghold of protection that has been there that goes back to this. Do you have trouble trusting people, giving and receiving love and all that? You can see how all these work together. Have you ever had exposure to any of the cults that are out there? There may be some strongholds that came because of a cult that you were associated with. Do you struggle with substance abuse? Yeah, preacher, but I can handle it. I've spent my adult life watching people destroy their lives with drugs and alcohol. I'm not talking about something I don't know. I'm talking about something that it's been part of my life. I've watched people that I love destroy themselves. Become a stronghold. It's not a matter of if you have stronghold. Which ones do you have? It's important to let the Holy Spirit shine His light into your life. And a stronghold may have come because of sin you committed. But it may have come through something that was done to you by someone else. But bottom line is, today, the evil one and his system has dug in your life isn't changing the way God wants it to change. But God has mighty weapons, doesn't He? Isn't that what we just read a few moments ago in 2 Corinthians? We do not wage war with human plans or methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's stronghold. Because He is Lord over all. Now, number 5, there's one stronghold that's very personal. This is what one comment commentators called a soul tie. Let me read this passage from 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body which belongs to Christ and join it to a prostitute? Never. Don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her?
For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who's joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Run away from sexual sin.
Boy, if that were happening, there'd be a lot of people running in America, wouldn't they?
No other sin, listen to this, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. The term I use, soul tie, refers to an unhealthy uniting of two people in a way that is not according to God's plan. Entering into a spiritual union that is not of God. Soul ties can be caused by emotional or physical involvement that may include sexual activity. The passage that I just read describes a soul tie that takes place between people outside of a marriage relationship. The two are united into one. It is people uniting in unhealthy ways. But it could also be an unnatural tie to parents, friends, brothers, sisters. A soul tie is a devotion to another person that replaces your worship and dependence upon God. It is allowing a closeness or intimacy with another person that should only belong to your spouse. Let me explain. What happens when you have sex with someone who is not your spouse? There's a connection. That's a soul tie. You've connected on a level emotionally and physically that is not part of the plan of God. Let me tell you, we offer a part of the deliverance ministry of this church is something called Steps to Freedom. A number of you have gone through Steps to Freedom. This is one of the things that we address in that, where we can cut off those entanglements because you become tied to that person, don't you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You do. That's exactly what happens. And it's not of God, and it's got to be broken. Now, hear me on this. We're talking about areas of our lives where we have given the evil one access to us, to our mind, our emotions, our bodies, our soul. And we need to cut off his access to us in that way, so that he can't jerk us around anymore. So we can experience his fulfillment. Because you see, Jesus can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He does offer forgiveness. He does offer restoration and reconciliation. So we no longer need to be driven by guilt. Isn't it interesting? That's what the evil one will come around and say, well, you can't do that because remember what you did? He does that with all of us. If you're thinking he just does that with you, no, that's also a lie. He does it with all of us. He wants us to experience his forgiveness. But that's something, that area is something that you've got to do yourself, you and God, to cut it off by faith and claim his forgiveness. You see, it's a bonding that takes place that is not of God. David is a perfect example of this in his relationship with Bathsheba. What would have happened if David would have immediately recognized the sin with Bathsheba and cut it off right there? Look at all the heartache that his family would have been saved. But if you read the story, you see the heartache that entered because of his sin. Now listen to me about this. We've got in our country this individualistic approach to I do what I want to do, and it only concerns me. It's no one else's business. Wrong. What you do affects everybody that is related to you. Everybody. It affects your children. It affects your family members. It affects your life and your relationship. This is an area of our lives in regard to a specific kind of stronghold that has to be addressed. And I know I'm dragging out more snakes than I can kill today in this message, but so be it. Number six, we need to break all strongholds and soul ties. Here's how you can do it. First of all, let God shine His light in. And know, what is God's motivation in all of this? Is it like the world says? Is it He just wants us to dangle us over the fire? Like sinners in the hands of an angry God, you know? Like the Puritan divines, you know? No! He desires restoration and reconciliation and joy and peace for your life. He wants to give you the best. He even wants you to have the best of sex. And that is in the confines of marriage with another person to whom you have committed your life completely and wholly to. Secondly, we need to agree with God about what He finds. We let God see in our lives. Agree. And that just means, thirdly, that we confess our sin. When we agree with Him, that means about what He finds. Confession means to say it again, to call it the same thing God calls it, which is sin. Agree with Him about the places where others have sinned against you. These are the places, yeah, I recognize these are places, God, that other people have sinned against me. And then break all those ties, all those soul ties. Lord, I'm not going to continue to let that control. I am cutting off that chain right now. Let me tell you, I've said this before. There's some of us that have the chains that go out to the cemetery with some people that have already died that still have control over our lives. You believe that? Yes, you do, because you work with people. There are people in your family and your own testimony. You see that happening. Their lives are being controlled by stuff that has already happened in their lives. It's time to get free. It's time to have a declaration of independence from the garbage in our lives. Right? Ask God for His forgiveness, for His healing. The loving God who just wants the best for you, and then receive His love and His forgiveness and His wholeness. And listen, for some of you that are older here, think, oh, Dusty, you're talking about stuff where I don't need to take care of that. Listen, I heard my own grandmother in her 80s talk about abuse in her life just like it was yesterday. Was it too late in her 80s for her to have reconciliation and peace? God has a way of escape for you, number seven. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. Others are experiencing the same thing. We have this in common. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. That's right, He'll give you the power. When you're tempted, He'll show you a way out so that you'll not give in to it.
Why don't you let this become your maintenance verse? You know, I've said this to y'all before. There are times I've just walked out of places. I've walked out of the mall before to get away from what was just in my face, all that was there. You have a decision to make. You know, we can continue to play around with the things of God or let God do a miracle. I hadn't exactly given you a feel-good sermon today. But I am one of the shepherds that God's placed over this flock. And I love you, and I want to see the best happen in your life. And I know we're not experiencing the best, are we? God has more for us. And especially in these days, we need to walk in His righteousness and His love. He cares for us. Let's pray. Now, I know what the temptation is going to be today. I'm going to open the altar. Nobody's going to want to come to the altar today. So I'll beat you there. This is something we all struggle with. You and God, whether it's where you sit or at the altar today with one of our pastors are here today to pray with you. This is your time to do business with Him. Why don't you turn it over today? Agree with God about the things in your life. If you're interested in exploring this a little bit further, would like to do the Steps to Freedom or get some information about Steps to Freedom, just put that on your card today, Steps to Freedom. We'll give you a call. Explain it to you. Lord, I thank You for Your word clear and plain today to the body. And Lord, this part of who we are as a body, part of our discipleship, is becoming conformed to Your image to deal with the things in our lives, deal with the strongholds that exist. Lord, we bless You. Lord, as we open the altar now, we ask that You come with Your healing, with Your love, Your forgiveness, Your help to all of us that are crying out to You. We need You today, Lord. The altar's open. Before we pray, Bethany wanted to give a personal word today about the Steps to Freedom. Come on, Bethany.
I just wanted to encourage everybody that's sitting in here right now, because I know, you know, you start talking about strongholds and personal issues, and, you know, the evil one wants you to feel guilty and condemned and like you're the only person that has stuff to deal with, but I just wanted to talk about what Steps to Freedom did in my life, because I think I did it about eight or ten years ago. I don't know. It's been a long time, but you know, when God first started bringing it up, you know, and speaking to me, and He started it with me with the Beth Moore Breaking Free Bible study, you know, and you know, I liked her Bible studies, but I would ignore that one. You know, I'm like, I don't need that. I don't have any problems. You know, nobody has any problems. And so I just kept pushing it aside and pushing it aside. And finally, you know, God impressed it upon me. He's like, you need to do this. And still, you know, going into it, I was like, what issues? I don't think I have any issues I have to deal with. And it's like, but I'm going to do this, you know, because You told me to do it. And through that process, then, you know, God revealed to me that I needed to do the Steps to Freedom. And so if you're sitting here today and you think you got it all covered and you've got it all taken care of, just think about that again, because God wants us to be all that we can be. And I think, you know, it's hard to know what you might be held back from unless you give him the chance to work. And so I encourage you to have an open mind about what he may be trying to do in you. And for the people that, you know, that feel exposed, like that feel that everybody in this room can see the sins that they have right now because of this topic coming up, you know, I want y'all to know that I'll be praying for you, because I know that that's what the evil one wants, but that's not what God wants, because God is God of love, and all he wants to do is to bring us closer to him and into a closer relationship with him. And so that's all that's been brought up here today, is the chance for healing and to let you receive and be all that God wants you to be. It's not about condemning, and you know, it's not like a, you know, I thought about a Catholic confession thing, where a lot of people see that as, you know, you're going and bearing it out there for a man to pass judgment on you. That it's not bearing anything for any man for any reason. It's asking God to come in and look and examine. And actually, during my Steps of Freedom process, you know, and it's a thing where you're reading, they're kind of going through a scripted kind of thing or whatever, but I think it's something that God did for me that was very loving is he revealed, it was like a hallway with the doors, a bunch of doors, and basically just that was a representation of sins that were in my life. And like, he didn't even have to reveal to me what those were. Like, you know, he didn't have to specifically tell me what those were and what those issues were, but it was like he was going down the hall, just closing the doors, just closing each door. And, you know, I mean, he didn't make me like pull it out and we have to give a name to it and, you know, and stomp me in the mud and make me feel bad about it. You know, it was just like, these issues are here, and I'm just shutting the door. That's it. And it's all gone. And so, you know, we live in a sinful world, and we're surrounded by so much stuff, you know. And like Dusty was saying, sometimes people have sinned against you, brought sin on you, you know, even without you being, you know, nothing that you did per se or whatever. And so anyway, we all, until we get to heaven, have stuff, you know. And so I just kind of want to encourage you that everybody has stuff, and God is love, and that's all that's trying to go on here. It's just that him expressing that love to you more, and you being in a place where you can receive it better.
Thank you, Bethy. Thank you, Bethy.
As we pray today, I want to pray for all of us. And we remember Miss Betty Benoit. She is doing well after her fall. She's in rehab over at Memorial. Continue to pray for my mom. She has to go see a gastro guy, but put off the chemo for a couple of weeks. And pray for each other. Who needs prayer here? Okay, let's pray for one another right now. Lord, we pray for the love, for the forgiveness, for the reconciliation, for your power today. Go before us now, in Jesus' name. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, put it up here or on your way out with a basket in the back. God bless you.